السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلي وسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah azza wa jal to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. First and foremost, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful opportunity where He has gathered all of us together to meet for His sake and to talk about Him and His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I ask Allah azza wa jal to make this gathering a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings, the sakina, tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us. May He azza wa jal envelop us with His mercy, and may He make high mention of us in the seven heavens. Ameen. Secondly, I would like to remind myself and then all of you all present here to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors that He has conferred upon us. He has conferred upon us so many favors. If we were to try and count these favors, we would fail miserably. As He azza wa jal rightfully states in the noble Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to try and count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to try and enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la tuhsuha, you will never be able to encompass all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is impossible. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, from these blessings is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed all of us with this amazing and blessed month, the month of Ramadan. Otherwise known as the month of the Qur'an, the month of generosity, شَهْرُ الْجُودِ وَالْإِنْفَاقِ, the month of generosity, the month of rahmah, the month of forgiveness. It is such a beautiful, amazing and blessed month. It is also from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not create all of time equal. Instead, He chose certain months to be better than certain months. Like say for example, Ramadan is the best of all months. He chose certain days to be better than other days. Like say for example, Friday is the best of all days, according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa'alihi wasallam, where he is reported to have said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمُ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The best of days upon which the sun has risen is Friday. It was on a Friday that our father, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, was created. It was on a Friday that he was admitted entry into Jannah. And it was on a Friday that he was taken out of Jannah. So Friday is the best of days. In terms of nights, the best of nights is the night that you and I were going to talk about insha'Allah ta'ala. Otherwise known as Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. But before we talk about Laylatul Qadr, just to give you a perspective about how amazing this month of Ramadan is, I would like to share with you all an amazing narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, an important note before I go further. I'm not the only one who's going to be doing the talking, inshallah ta'ala. I want you all to engage as well, so I'll be asking a few questions just to see whether everybody is awake. I hope everybody's fine with that. Yeah? Okay. So let me start off with the narration. This narration has been recorded in the book of Imam Ibn Majah, rahimahullah. A famous Sahabi by the name Talha, radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that أَنَّ رَجُلَيْنِ مِنْ بَلِيٍ قَدِمَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That there were two men, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and they both embraced Islam at the same time, two men. وَكَانَ إِسْلَامُهُمَا جَمِيعًا. Both of them embraced Islam at the same time. But from these two individuals, there was one who strove a little harder than the other. He strove a little harder in the sense he strove in the path of Allah. He used to do more good deeds until finally he passed away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving in the path of Allah azza wa jal. He attained martyrdom. The other individual, he remained for one more year and then he too passes away a normal death at home. Two individuals, I hope you are with me. One passes away in the path of Allah as a martyr, and the other, he passes away a year later a normal death. Now Talha radiallahu anh, the narrator of the hadith, he says, I saw a dream. And in that dream, in that dream, I was by the gates of Jannah. I was by the gates of Jannah, and I see these two individuals are with me as well. These two individuals who embraced Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Then what happened was an angel, he came and he admitted the one who passed away a year later, not the martyr, the one who passed away a year later, a normal death, he admitted that individual into Jannah and then he left. After a while, he came back again and now admits the martyr into Jannah. And then after a while, he came back again and told me, Ya Talha, your time has not come yet, so you may go back. The minute he said that, I woke up from my slumber. I got up and I was amazed by this dream, because he said that, you know, they were very well aware of the rank of the virtues of a shaheed, of a martyr. But then when he was observing this spectacle, the man who died a year later, a normal death, he was admitted entry into Jannah before the shaheed, before the martyr. So he started to talk about this to some of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala, alayhim ajma'in. Until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got wind about this. He heard about this, you know, the dream of Talha radiallahu an. And then he calls Talha radiallahu an, and he asks Talha, Ya Talha, what is, you know, so surprising about your dream? And Talha radiallahu an, he says, Ya Rasulullah, you know, we know the rank of a shaheed, the virtues of a shaheed, but I was so amazed that this shaheed did not enter Jannah first. Instead, the other man, he entered Jannah first. So I would like an explanation in this regard. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam very beautifully explains, Ya Talha, did not this second individual who died a normal death, did he not remain for one more year? To which Talha radiallahu anhu said, Bala Ya Rasulullah, of course. So did he not witness another month of Ramadan? Look, this is a comparison between a normal individual and a shaheed. A normal individual and a shaheed. And look at the criterion, what's the differentiating factors basically. Did he not witness another month of Ramadan? Did he not pray during that month of Ramadan? Did he not make this sajda, you know, this many sajda, this many prayers during that month of Ramadan? Did he not recite the Quran during the month of Ramadan? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam kept on clarifying to Talha radiallahu an, until he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam finally capped off the narration by saying, Ya Talha, the difference between the two are like the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. Does this not fill our hearts with hope that we are in this month of Ramadan? You know, we are in this month of Ramadan. You know, just before coming here, I posted a Facebook status. I said, it just crossed my mind, what if this is our last Ramadan? What if this is our last Ramadan? We pray to Allah that Allah should bless us all to attain many more months of Ramadan. We pray that Allah should bless us all to attain many more months of Ramadan. But what if this is our last Ramadan? Perhaps just think of it. How many of your friends were there perhaps last Ramadan, your relatives, and they're not there this Ramadan? They were with us last Ramadan, but they're not with us this Ramadan. So what guarantee do we have that we will remain until the next Ramadan? So let us try to make the very best out of this month of Ramadan. Let us do as many good deeds as possible to secure the pleasure of our Maker, Allah Azza wa Jal. Now moving on about Laylatul Qadr. Like I said, it is an amazing night. It is an amazing night. And there is one particular narration mentioned in the books of Tafsir in regard to Suratul Qadr, which we will discuss soon inshallah. There was once a man from the Banu Israel who strove in the path of Allah for almost 83 years, equivalent to 1,000 months. He strove for 83 years, equivalent to about 1,000 months. And then he passes away. So when the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, when they got to know about this, they were amazed and they thought, Ya Rasulullah, the lifespan of your ummah, according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many years do we live? 60 to 70 years. How can we even try to compete with the nations of the past when they have, you know, strove so hard in the path of Allah for you know, some of them have even struggled for so many months, almost 1,000 months. How on earth can we try to compete with them? And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Suratul Qadr and put their hearts at ease, where even if you were to coincide with this, just this one night during the year, one night, you get the reward of worship equivalent to 1,000 months, 83 years and 4 months. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Laylatul Qadr? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr laylatul qadri khayrun min alf shahr tanazzalul malaikatu waruhu fiha bi'idhni rabbihim min kulli amr salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr. Allahu akbar. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. We sent it down, i.e. the Quran, during the night of power, laylatul qadr. Wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr. And what will make you understand or perceive about the night of power, what the night of power is all about? Laylatul qadri khayrun min alf shahr. The night of power is better than 1,000 months. Allahu Akbar. Better than 1,000 months. 83 years and 4 months if you were to take it literally. But there are scholars of tafsir who also state that this is a statement, a rhetoric statement to indicate kathra, abundance. So it can be even much more than 1,000 months. We can be rewarded much more than 1,000 months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us in such a manner. Ameen. خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. The ruh, who is the ruh? Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام. Archangel Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام. تنزل الملائكة والروح. And the angels, they come down according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. And there will be peace. There will be peace all over until daybreak. Until the daybreak of the next day. Now in regard to Laylatul Qadr, what is Laylatul Qadr all about? Let us first, discuss the definition, Laylatul Qadr. Layla, after all, is not Layla Majnoon. Layla is an Arabic term that is translated as night. Layla, night. And Al-Qadr, now what is Qadr? Qadr is an Arabic term. You can pronounce it as Qadr or Qadr, with a fatha or with a sukun. Qadr or Qadr. Now what is Qadr? What is the meaning of Qadr? There are a couple of meanings that we can give for Qadr, some of which I will mention inshallah ta'ala. One is decree. One is decree. To decree something. Just as you when you pray your salatul istikhara, you make the dua, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik wa astaqdiruka biqudratik, until the part where you say, Allahumma in kunta ta'lam anna hadha al-amr khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri. What do you say? Faqdurhu li. Oh Allah, in your knowledge, if this matter is good, if it is good for my life, if it is good for my deen, if it is good for my livelihood, then فَقْدُرْهُ لِي. Decree it for me. Write it for me. That comes from فَقْدُر. Comes from, it's the command form. It comes from قَدَر. From the word قَدَر. So the night of decree. We will discuss inshallah that during this night, so many things are written down, are decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole year. There are things that are decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole year. So the first meaning, I'll be asking questions. The first meaning is qadr, in the sense decree, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second meaning that scholars rahimahumullah give is uluwu sha'an, something of a high nature, of something, of a lofty nature, grandeur, high status. Because what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the noble Quran? وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They have not appraised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a true appraisal. They have not appraised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a true appraisal, because obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of a high and lofty status. They have not appraised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The whole of planet Earth will be within the grip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. وَالسَّمَوَاتِ. And the heavens will all be rolled up in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanah. Glory be unto him. وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. He is far above what they associate unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second meaning is something of a high nature, high status. So the first meaning, the night of decree. If you take the second meaning, the night of a lofty status or grandeur, you can translate it. The third meaning that scholars rahimahumullah give, it's a bit of a strange meaning, but we'll match it to Laylatul Qadr. They say that it means tadyiq, narrowness. constraint of space. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Fajr?
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا.
And if we were to test, and when we test them, what do we do? فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا. We confine their rizq. In the sense, we withhold their rizq. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test an individual, He withholds the rizq of an individual. As He states in Surah Al-Baqarah,
وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ.
And definitely we shall test you all with something of fear. بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ hunger, نَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ loss of wealth, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ and loss of provisions. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ give glad tidings unto those who are patient. So وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَى and when we test them, فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا we will withhold their rizq. So this meaning, فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا gives the meaning of restraint, constraintment, you know, confinement. Now let me ask you all a question. How do you think, you know, when we say confinement, like say for example, if this hall was full, it is almost full, do you think there are, you know, spots for people to sit at the back? You can't see any spots, right? There are just a few chairs at the back, but people can't sit. If there are no chairs at all, nobody will be able to sit because there is a, what? Restriction of space. So how do you think this particular definition matches with Laylatul Qadr? Can someone try? A wild guess? It's one night. Okay, it's more specific to the night itself. The confinement of space. It's a clue. Confinement of space. Tadiq, this meaning, qadr, tadiq means narrowness. There won't be space. Okay, now I've given another clue. There won't be space. Now how does this match with Laylatul Qadr? There won't be space for what? Or why won't there be any space? Jazakallah khair. Full of angels. Full of angels. Tanazzalu al-malaikatu wa-ruh. In one narration, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said that there will be so many angels coming down, their number will be like the pebbles on the face of this earth. Can you and I, can we try to count the pebbles on the face of this earth? Impossible, impossible. There will be more than the number of pebbles, the amount of angels coming down to the face of this earth. So on that night, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, there will actually be tadiq of space. There will be restriction of space. There won't be space because there will be so many angels filling this planet, including the greatest of all angels, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The greatest of all angels, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So quickly moving on. In regard to the night itself, the Quran was revealed during this night. Now you might wonder, did the Quran come down all at once? Well, what happened was, the Quran came down, yes, all at once, but to Sama'ud Dunya, to the first heaven. And from there, during Laylatul Qadr, and from there, it came down piecemeal, bit by bit, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Depending on circumstances and situations, the Quran came down. But yes, it came all at once during Laylatul Qadr, during the month of Ramadan, and that's why Allah says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ. That's why He says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we reveal the Quran during a blessed night, during the night of power. It was revealed to the, in the sense it was sent down to the first heaven, and from there onwards it was revealed unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam piecemeal, bit by bit, depending on circumstances and situations. Now swiftly, in regard to a few signs about Laylatul Qadr, like how are you to identify Laylatul Qadr? Number one, this is from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. You're supposed to look towards the moon. Look towards the moon. Because generally now that we have come towards the end of the month of Ramadan, how do you think the moon will be? Will it be like a full moon? No. It will be small and fading away. But during the night of Laylatul Qadr, according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, وَهُوَ مِثْلُ شِقِّ جَفْنَ. It will be like half a plate. If you have a round plate, it will be like half of it, and it will be bright and glowing during the night of power, during Laylatul Qadr. This is one sign. The second sign is that, this is also based on a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the night will be a calm and pleasant night. It will be a calm and pleasant night. It will not be too hot nor too cold. It won't be too hot nor too cold. And the sun will rise the next day morning very feeble, and its rays won't be strong. Its rays won't be strong. Someone, you know, an individual will be able to look at the sun, and it won't, you know, the glare won't be too strong. It will look very feeble and very weak the next day morning when the sun rises. But then there are other reports to state that this is not from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like what? Dogs won't bark during Laylatul Qadr. Alhamdulillah, you don't have dogs in Malay, so that's not an issue. Dogs will not bark during Laylatul Qadr, and you will hear the crowing of the rooster. Now these signs are not from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but instead it's from the aqwal of our Salafun as-Salih, from the sayings of our pious predecessors. This is based on their own experiences, and they say that there is no possibility for the dog to bark, because the dog barks generally when it sees the devil, when it sees shaitan. So during the month of Ramadan, anyway the shayateen are all locked up, and during the night of power, during Laylatul Qadr, there's no possibility that shaitan can be roaming around, because the place is full of angels. So the dogs don't bark when they see angels. But instead, the rooster crows when it sees an angel, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they say there's a possibility that there could be roosters crowing because of the fact that there are many angels around. But this is not from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what if an individual... Okay, and the other thing is, when do you look for Laylatul Qadr? When do you look for Laylatul Qadr? Now there are some of us who wait for the 27th night. They wait for the 27th night. And when the 27th night comes, mashallah, throughout the night they are at the masjid. And the next day, they don't come to the masjid. You know why? Because during the 27th night, they become like a newborn baby, right? Their sins are all forgiven. So they're so newborn that they can't crawl and come to the masjid. They're newborn babies. They can't come the next day. So that's why nobody comes on the 28th night, the 29th night. So this is not how we should search for the night of power. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to strive during the last 10 nights of Ramadan. In regard to the date, it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the precise date. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to inform the Sahaba. He was so excited because he received the date, the precise date, in regard to a night that is better than 1,000 months. He came rushing out to inform them, and when he came out, there were two individuals arguing. There were two individuals quarreling and fighting. The minute that happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted the knowledge in regard to the precise date, for wisdoms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But anyway, the best part is we get to strive for the last 10 nights. For example, if we knew precisely that this night is the night, then we would all only strive on that night, and not, we won't strive on the other nights. You know, not knowing the precise date, we only strive on the 27th night. So let us try to strive through the other nights as well, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we study the aqwal of the Salaf, there are reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to strive. There's one report that states he used to strive the last 10 nights completely. Another report that states he used to only strive during the odd nights, in the sense 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, and 29th. Then there's another report to state that the Prophet ﷺ only strove past the 25th, in a sense 25th, 27th, and 29th. And Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, a very great Sahabi, he goes on to state that he promises that the Laylatul Qadr falls only on the 27th night. It falls on the 27th night. So how do we understand all of these narrations? Scholars, rahimahumullah, explain that Laylatul Qadr is something that is not restricted to a particular date every single year. It varies year to year. It varies year to year. So there's a possibility that it can fall on the 27th night, according to the version of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. And based on another way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked for it, it can come in the 25th. So based on this, they say there's a possibility that it can come through the odd nights, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, and 29th. And that's why we are supposed to strive as much as possible during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, especially during the odd nights. Especially during the odd nights. So that we coincide with Laylatul Qadr. Okay, so now what if we coincide with Laylatul Qadr? What do we do on Laylatul Qadr? What do we do? Sadly, there are some of us who spend our time or their time in front of the television watching, you know, TV serials, movies, whatnot, and they waste that blessed and powerful night. I mean, each ibadah you do is multiplied into 1,000, Allahu Akbar. You give out 1 dinar, that's multiplied 1,000 times. You make 1 ibadah, it's better than 1,000 months of worship. It's multiplied many fold. So we must strive to do as many good deeds as possible during that night. Starting off with what? Prayer. You can pray your Taraweeh, your Qiyam al-Layl, your Tahajjud. Spend the whole night. You have to revive the night in prayer. That's the first and most important thing. Do as many prayers as possible. Lengthen your prayers. Lengthen your Qiyam. Recite as much Quran as possible during the prayer itself. And pray as much as possible during that night. That's number one. Number two, read as much Quran as possible during that night. Read as much Quran as possible during that night. And don't read it like how a parrot would do. Don't just pay lip service to the Quran. Instead, read the Quran with tadabbur. You are supposed to ponder and reflect on the meanings. That's when you'll be able to derive lessons, implement them in your lives. Perhaps if you don't know the Arabic language, grab a tarjuma, a translation, and go through the Quran with the tarjuma so that you can perhaps, you know, grasp some of the meanings of the Quran. Even if that's not possible, then you know, you go online, there are plenty of videos, tafsir videos of different scholars discussing many ayat of tafsir. You can even spend the night seeking knowledge. There's no harm. I say this often, we live in a very modern era. We have no excuse whatsoever. You know, people of the past, perhaps they could have said, you know, we didn't have the access to scholars to study, you know, we couldn't travel abroad to study tafsir. Today, you don't even have to travel abroad. You can sit in the comfort of your bedroom, on top of your bed, and you can seek knowledge. All you have to do is open up. You don't even have to take out your laptop, even if you're that lazy. Just take your mobile phone out, open up the YouTube application, and you can watch ample videos discussing many tafsirat of different ayat. So how on earth do you think we will be excused on the day of Qiyamah? We'll definitely be held accountable on the day of Qiyamah. So we're supposed to try and introspect, reflect on these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states in the Noble Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not ponder on the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or have they got locks on their hearts? Allahu Akbar. Allah did not say, أَفَلَا يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَسْمَعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. No, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder and reflect? Or have they got locks on their hearts? So if you're finding it difficult to ponder and reflect, Allah forbid, you must know for a fact that your heart is hardening and you need to work on your heart, you need to soften your heart by listening to the Quran, reading the Quran and studying the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. The next very important thing that you have to do during Laylatul Qadr is dua. This is of utmost importance. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, say for example, if you are up during every single night, this is an experiment that you can conduct, but you need to do it with conviction and belief. Only then it will happen. But if you are up the whole last 10 nights of Ramadan, just make these two du'as taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will secure amazing things. There was once a scholar who, he wanted something in his life. He wanted something in his life. If I'm not mistaken, he wanted to become a Hafidhul Quran. He wanted to become a Hafidhul Quran, but his memory was weak. He was finding it very difficult to memorize the Quran. But then he realized the value and power of the last 10 nights. So you know what he did? He stayed one Ramadan, he stayed up every single night, and every single night he made this one dua. Oh Allah, make me a Hafidhul Quran. Oh Allah, make me a Hafidhul Quran. You know what's amazing? He did it every single night. Every single night. So now, is there any doubt? He was up every single night. And he made this dua every single night. So do you think he could have missed Laylatul Qadr? Impossible, right? It has to be one of the nights. It has to be one of the nights. And he made the same dua during every single night. So no doubt, what is the conclusion? This dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it must have been answered on one of the days, right? He made the same dua every single night. 21st night, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th. Same dua. Allah, make me a Hafidh al-Quran. A year did not pass by, and he became a Hafidh al-Quran. A year did not pass by, he became a Hafidh al-Quran. You and I, we need to study the secrets of dua. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reporter have said, make dua when it's raining, your dua is answered. Dua of a musafir is answered. When someone is traveling, ask them to make dua for you. If it is raining, don't forget. Don't go out and look at the rain and be amazed by it. Make dua during that time before it stops raining. Because whilst it's raining, your dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if you can't sit down, and if you don't have a list of things to make dua for, if you're so busy and if you don't have the time to do that, two comprehensive du'as taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first du'a was when our mother, Aisha radiallahu anha, went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, if I coincide with Laylatul Qadr, what dua do I make?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, may my mother, my father, and myself be ransomed for him, he said, "Ya Aisha, make this dua. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni." Beautiful dua. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun. Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving. And you love to forgive. You love to forgive. Allah says in so many places in the Noble Quran, in Allah ghafur rahim, in Allah ghafur rahim. You and I, we read it every single day. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, He's the most forgiving. Ya Allah, you are the most forgiving. You love to forgive. Forgive me. Beautiful, comprehensive dua. This is one dua. And the second dua, this was actually asked by a brother yesterday, and I answered it at the Messenger series that I'm conducting in Masjid Noor every day. I mentioned that, because the question was, Shaykh, what is the most favorite dua of yours from the Quran, and if so, why? So I said, my favorite dua is according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to make this dua a lot. The most the frequent dua that he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to make from the Quran is this particular dua. Which dua?
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّهَارِ.
Oh Allah, give me the very best in this world as well as the hereafter. Give me the very best. Give me goodness in that world and save me from the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua excessively. Because it is a comprehensive dua that covers every aspect in a nutshell. You're asking for a good life in this world. You're asking for a good life in that world. The best of both worlds. And then save me from the fire of Jahannam. What else do you want? Scholars rahimahumullah explain that when you ask for a good life in this world, it includes health, wealth, a loving wife, loving children, a good house, good vehicle, everything imaginable for a good life within the guidelines of Sharia. When you ask for a good life in the hereafter, you're getting the pleasure of Allah as well as Jannah. What else do you want? Allahu Akbar. And then finally you cap off the dua by saying, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. So if you get up every single night, my dear brother, my dear sister, don't forget to make this dua. Small, comprehensive, concise dua. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. If it is raining, make this dua. Perhaps you're traveling, you're boarding the flight, make this dua. You're landing, make this dua. Wherever you go, make this dua. You're making tawaf, make this dua. Such a comprehensive dua, you get the best out of both worlds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with the best in this world as well as the hereafter. Finally, I leave you all with one piece of advice. And that is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it's too late. This is the final thing. Use this month, use this night, say if you coincide with Laylatul Qadr, as an opportunity to turn over a new leaf. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere tawbah. Tawbah is not something reserved for the month of Ramadan. I need to make it very clear, because some people have this misconception that tawbah is something reserved for the 27th night. No. It's not reserved for the month of Ramadan. It's not reserved for Ashrul Awakhir, the last 10 days. It's not reserved for the 27th night. It is something that a believer has to make part and parcel of his or her day-to-day life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا.
Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, you and I, we need to sit up properly and listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, because He's either going to command us to do something or prohibit us from something. You and I, we all call ourselves mu'minun. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have brought in iman, O you who believe, tubu ilallah. Turn back to Allah. Tawbatan nasuha, a sincere tawbah. Allah did not address, Ya ayyuhal mujrimun, O criminals, O sinners, O disbelievers, O the ones who have rebelled against Allah, O transgressors. No! O believers, not even O muslimun, O believers. Allahu Akbar. You might wonder, why do the believers have to turn in tawbah? Aren't the criminals, aren't the sinners the ones supposed to turn in tawbah? No! The believers. If you consider yourself a believer, you need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere tawbah. So seize this opportunity, seize the last 10 days of Ramadan. We've just got another a few days remaining, Allahu Akbar. Already two or three nights have gone. We've just got a couple of nights remaining before this amazing And blessed month slips away from us. So let us use these nights that we have, these days that we have, to make the very best out of this month of Ramadan. Let's make these days count. Let's turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it's too late. And let us do as many good deeds as possible to secure His pleasure and to secure His forgiveness. With that I conclude. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins, to accept our good deeds. And may He azza wa jal help us all to attain many more Ramadan in the future. And just as how He united all of us here, during this beautiful night, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum Allah khair.